Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
Oh, you threw in a joining me in that really unsettled me. It's Ben Vanel here. I've got to learn to be on my toes a little bit more. A lot like the man who never gets off his own toes.
I'm like a ballet dancer, a ballerina.
Yep.
I'm a diva.
Yep.
And... basically unskilled.
Yep. Eating disorder.
Yeah. You did get to go down on Mila Kunis that one time, though. In the only ballerina thing I've ever seen.
No, you're misremembering that. Mila Kunis knocked me to the ground. Knocked me down. That's what happened.
Knocked me down.
She clotheslined me.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that film holds up?
Because I ate her out too well.
How dare you?
Yeah, that's going to ruin all the rest of them now. Kabunk.
Yeah, that was a film that, one of those classic examples of a film that people really lose in their minds over at the time.
Mm.
And you never hear anyone now still be like, favorite film, Black Swan.
Yeah.
I guess so. There must be people out there whose favorite movie is Black Swan.
Mm.
There's got to be someone. If that's you, good for you.
Welcome back
from the coma.
I reckon it might be Natalie Portman's, because I don't know that she did anything huge after that.
What about
right?
Thor the Dark World?
My bad. Yeah, I'll cop to that.
Who gets growled out in that one? I've never seen it.
Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. Some frost giants.
Yeah.
They're
a Thor thing. Mm-hmm. Name five more Thor things.
Odin. I bumped my ankle. That's a bit Thor.
Okay. Oh. What if Thor and the word saw could be swapped over? Speaking of which, the comedy festival is on sale now.
And genuinely, you know, comedy hasn't existed for a year, and I had forgotten that was one of my old routines.
Thor and Thor.
Hey, maybe it'll get dusted off and put into my upcoming comedy festival show if I decide I'm a little light on for material.
If I can't think of things to riff about to fill the time.
Tommy, you're saying you're going to dust off that joke? Listen to this. That's the air leaving the room after you tell it.
Yes.
Not you blowing the dust off.
Yes.
Like you might have thought it was.
Yep. Like I might have thought.
Thought it was.
Yes.
It's got multiple applications.
Yeah. And our senses of humor have thawed out.
Uh-huh.
That's a long time.
Like out of a piece of wood in
honestly,
a beautiful sculpture.
Honestly, why pay for a ticket to a show when you can get this?
Because they're high quality and they're available at comedyfestival.com.au.
99.999% of the audience listening now going, what the fuck are they talking about? The assumption that it's that much of a ubiquitous piece of comedy material that we, of course, are all familiar with it.
When the majority of our listeners don't even live in the same country as us.
Yes.
And we don't make a lot of trips overseas.
Yep.
Especially these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, if you want to get that, you can do that.
Yep. Go check us out. Knox, you've got your show start. Well, it's on now.
Well, it's happening now. But
Give it a plug.
If you want to look it up, you will.
Yes.
There's no point in wasting everyone else's time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But Daddy's got to eat.
Daddy won't get food by begging at the door. Daddy will get food if people want to bring it around.
But we're doing Comedy Festival shows. Check it out. Comedyfestival.com.au. Yeah. Got my show and you got Knox's show.
Yeah.
And BV making a little cameo in my show.
Yeah. And maybe Knox's. No.
if you want it, anyone can storm any stage.
Yeah.
That's how Houdini died, right? No, that was in the streets.
Yeah.
Someone punched him in the gut.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have a trick, right? You heard this?
Yeah. Where he would purposefully, I guess he would just tense up.
He'd tense up his guts, but he trained to do it really well. The guy was like, think your abs are made of steel, huh, Houdini?
Yeah.
Gave him a wallop, and Houdini was like, I'm just a man.
That must have been a big punch, though, because I can't imagine dying... But from just getting punched in the stomach.
If someone really fucking punched you,
I guess if they like punched through
almost
your liver,
anywhere on the body, you'd be in trouble.
It's the Houdini equivalent of just like meeting someone at a party and them going, "Tell us a joke, then."
Right,
oh, and then you not being able to recall like a street joke.
I wish
off
I was
your
an
head.
Escape artist now.
Then being like, "Yeah, he's not very funny.
Yeah,
couldn't tell me a joke. This Houdini guy, I fucking punched him and he died." It's not that good.
Get out of the coffin, Houdini. Everyone at the funeral be like, maybe. Yeah.
Sitting there going, come on, mate.
All
We've
right.
all got stuff to do. Get on with it.
Buried in a suit. Okay, yeah, where's the latch? Yeah. Fine, where's the bit that's going to come out?
The dirt's going on the coffin. Yeah, good on you, mate.
All right, it's been 6 years. Yeah, okay, good trick.
Yeah, all right, I'm coming. I'm putting flowers on. Is this the big ta-da moment?
All right, I'm dying now because it's been so long. All right, Houdini, come out.
All right, mate, they're talking about you on a podcast. Now's the moment.
All right, nobody who was alive at the time is currently still alive. An entire generation has passed on. Come on, Houdini, where are you?
Ta-da.
A Houdini video game. Now, that'd be something. Open world Houdini game.
It'd be a lot of...
Open world, yeah. You get little jobs. You get little magic
you go
tricks
to
you
town.
Go and have to do. Yeah,
right. Sure.
It'd be fun.
It'd probably be leaky. There'd be trailers coming out before they were meant to. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Released a little early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot like...
Mm-hmm.
Was that one of the... Oh, yeah, the Nintendo thing.
Yes. Yeah,
I knew that there was something.
Yeah,
and it's the thing we've already talked about before, but just like more reports came out of Bloomberg, the Bloomberg head office.
The guy who
big print
failed to win the presidential nominee, Mike Bloomberg.
Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until he started doing that presidential run that Bloomberg was a person.
Right.
Which it's stupid now that I think about it because Bloomberg sounds like a name of a person, but it's also a proper noun in its own right.
Yes. Mm.
So I didn't connect the two. And it makes me way less interested in giving a shit about anything they ever say, knowing that the company is owned, as all companies are, by a person, but that it's named after them.
And a billionaire.
Right. Getting the news from like a vanity project is a really strange feeling.
Yeah.
Filthy Casuals will give you the news instead. Three vanity projects.
Yes.
But Mr. Bloomberg himself, he's hit submit on the post on his he's gone into WordPress and he's entered his login details.
Yeah. What the fuck was my password?
A new story from admin has been posted.
I'll do forgot password again, and then they'll send me the temporary password, but I'll change it. I will.
Recovered
never remembers
recovery
to change
password
it.
Sent to me at bloomberg.com. just an updated report. God, this truly is starting to rival our coverage of the NX.
Well, it's because Nintendo can't keep a secret, but also won't tell you about your secret when you know it.
They refuse to bow to the pressure of it being... They refuse to do what most companies do, where it's like, well, it's out there anyway. Mm. Well, let's just control the story rather than have speculation running rampant for over a year at this point.
Same as Houdini lying in that coffin and you could see him quickly opening an eye to check if people were looking every now and again. And people like, Houdini, we know you're alive still.
Yeah, we can hear you breathing.
No one dies from a punch.
Is the Switch Pro coming out, Nintendo? Oh, nah.
What's a Switch?
Nah.
I don't know.
It's 4K, right? It's got DLSS. Oh, nah.
Couldn't say. Couldn't tell you. Yeah, but people who work for you told us. Oh, no one works for me.
It's like a friend landing an audition in an ad. Yeah. Oh, that's great. What's it for? Can't say. Well, actually can't say. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you brought it up, so I just kind of figured.
I know, but I can't tell you because the answer's menu log and it's like not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but you started talking to me about it, Brent. Just tell me the fucking company. You sat me down to tell me the story, and now you're holding out the details on me.
Did you get that last one you did this with? No. Anyway, DLSS, and it's like confirmed by multiple sources, apparently. They don't give away the sources because obviously they still work for Nintendo, you would assume.
Mm.
But
let's just call him S. Miyamoto.
Yeah. M. Ario. Michael Ario. He works for Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Because of the Michael connection.
Yeah, he's my uncle.
Yeah.
And he works for Bloomberg.
The 720p OLED screen seems to be the thing. DLSS, like upgraded processor and RAM and everything. Mm. What you would expect it to be if it were a minor upgrade to the Switch.
Yep.
You know, the mid-gen, like the Pro consoles, like the new 3DS. Mm-hmm. Like Nintendo is definitely doing.
Yes. Yep.
The NXX.
The thing that was...
You like that?
Yeah.
The thing that was most interesting about this particular thing was like a bunch of new games with it, and it's coming out this year.
Mm.
So that... makes me wonder if, I think we kind of maybe said this before, but Breath of the Wild 2, maybe Bayonetta, maybe Metroid, I don't know how far along they are, but some other new game.
This, this is my theory that a lot of stuff that seems like they would be starting to show off bits and pieces of it, they've been sort of holding back on.
Yeah.
And that's my big theory, is that they're tied to having a hefty upgrade graphically on this new console, and they're waiting to sort of all at once go, and here's what these upcoming games are going to look like on
it. So you'd assume that it was this time in June, E3-ish time, when it would have been.
Yep.
Big Direct. Hey, new Switch coming later.
Yep.
Maybe it'll be more expensive than people want.
Right.
Yep. But roughly, that's fine if it's a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That base that they're going for with it, I hope it is. Like, I hope they don't scale back on the features and, you know, chock it full of tech and make it, you know, a bit more expensive.
Mm. Yes, but I think Nintendo won't go and update their old games. They've never done that with all the old versions on like DSi and whatever. Even when they bring them over from the Wii U, they don't really do it.
Mm.
And like there's probably, those sort of aspects of like the Pro and the One X and stuff, you won't get those benefits.
No.
And it'll be a couple of games will utilize it if it's anything like their
past. You know what I'd much prefer it to be? Nintendo 64 style. Don't bring out a new model. Bring out an expansion pack. Bring out a disgusting, hideous little block that you have to like jam into the dock somehow to get that upgrade.
You jam the Switch into the hideous red block.
And it's
got that same like hatched panel that expansion pack had. Remember it had a little overhang that was just like a hat?
Yeah.
It wasn't for anything?
Tell you what, taking that out of the box of Donkey Kong 64 that it was packed in with, fuck it, and just like jamming that into the console, it's like, now we are fucking now we are playing with real power.
Leaning back and shielding your eyes before you turn it on.
I think at this point it's a given that 4K screen will look better, slight graphical upgrade, all that kind of stuff. I think I'm most interested to see just the actual kind of form of it, like what it looks like, because you would assume that it would be getting not a major overhaul, but maybe a slight reconfiguring of the Joy-Con, like all these little things that just about the actual design of the console itself that's now 4 years old, that not that it'd be a huge overhaul, but just, little tweaking and lightening here and there. I'm interested to see what
maybe
it looks like.
I would wonder if they would still want it to be able to fit into the Labo stuff and into the old docks and whatever. Probably, like, I doubt they would.
I think they're already in the terrain of, like, you know, they're bringing out the Switch Lite without removable Joy-Cons, which means that a game like Mario Party can't be played on it like they're already sort of in the world of like, oh, sorry, these things aren't going to work with everything. And
I think they wouldn't want to do that again for like the main thing. You know what I mean? The Switch Lite was always like a side thing, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And I reckon we and they should shut up about it.
Yeah, very true.
Until they've said something about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the Switch Lite, they fixed the D-pad? Was that what they changed?
Yeah, they made it like a plus instead D-pad of the four buttons because you didn't need to take it off to make it a controller.
But yeah, I mean, it's a great time to fix Joy-Con drift and a bunch of other shit that...
Well, yeah, that drift stuff is happening in other controllers now too.
Yes.
Like, it seems as though it's a manufacturing issue for multiple companies who are sourcing their products from the same, or their components from the same... companies,
Drift Tech.
Yeah.
Drift Tech.
Yeah.
Tokyo Drift.
The CEO of Drift Tech with his big cross eyes. I don't know how that would affect it, but like, that's just a funny visual.
He's you got see a
vertigo to be like, or hey, moving. Or his hands just like really to the left somewhere.
Yeah, or you see a photo of the building where they're getting it from and it's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Like, part of it's sunken down. Yeah. So when they're developing it, they're like, ah, it's just I keep tilting to one side. So they've overcorrected.
What other weird.
Maybe what other things are there?
It was on a boat, right? It was on a boat.
It's in international waters.
Drift Tech is on a boat.
They developed it on a...
Because we employ slaves. Can't bound it in international waters. And honestly, they don't put a lot of work in because they're not motivated.
But the prices...
So they don't make the joysticks well. So maybe that's the issue. Yeah. It's the use of slave labor. Mm-hmm.
They developed it on a gravitron, so they were sort of like upside down as they were doing it. That could have been a reason.
The vomit comet, that plane where astronauts practice zero gravity.
That's where I was going next. I was going the International Space Station, maybe.
And every week they're like, the rent is insane for this place.
But again, we get the slaves up there.
Yeah.
We save on the labor costs.
Just to be clear, we don't believe that any company is using slaves. Slavery was abolished. There's more than ever. Let's not get into it. We're talking about the NX.
There is more slaves than ever.
It's a literal fact about the world today. It's a crazy place we live in. Hope Mario comes out.
Well, something that Nintendo have announced that is they've officially announced it, and it is something that is somewhat slave adjacent. And how do you say that company name? Niantic, the company that developed Pokemon Go, are also making a Pikmin app.
Yes, an AR Pikmin game.
Your little slaves in that game.
Yes,
I guess but they're like
they're willing.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're like helpers,
right?
Yeah, I guess that's all terminal. It's more like Oompa Loompas.
They're wage slaves. Like most of the people in the Western world.
I don't think they're getting paid.
Yeah, I think they're getting paid, and you can send them to their death.
You've got a common goal, though, to move a big thing somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I reckon I'm all for Pikmin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't. This is a strange thing because I don't think Pikmin have the universal appeal or market penetration of Pokemon.
I guess they've done Mario Run, they've done Pokemon, they've done Mario Kart. They've sort of done, I guess, the big three franchises, unless you did like a Zelda thing, but really know how that would work.
But if it's an AR thing, you can imagine it looks fun to see little Pikmin running around on your countertop or whatever.
Yeah, I'm into this. I really like the last Pikmin game that I played, and they've said the aim of the app is to make walking fun.
Okay.
So I guess it sounds like it is really similar to Pokemon Go in that, hey, go out here and see a little fucking thing.
That sentence, though, is like, we're trying to make Jesus cool. Like, it's just not something
Was it in that Adam Curtis show that we all watched where there was a bit about how Pokemon Go was incentivizing people to walk to certain locations because the businesses had paid Niantic to be featured? So, I mean, it's about making walking to the 7-Eleven fun, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, I love that. That's my favorite activity to do. And I like that first Pikmin. I think that's still the only one I've played. But I like Mario and I like Mario Kart. Niantic didn't do good mobile games.
Yeah, did Niantic do all of them?
I don't know. I thought they only did Pokemon Go, to be honest.
I think they did too. But
yeah,
but
the Harry Potter game, right? The one that was the very first thing they ever did.
That's right.
Yeah. But also just Nintendo's app track record so far in general. I mean, I think they are still making a lot of money from them all, or like some of them in particular.
Pokemon Go is still popular.
Pokemon Go,
sure.
Yeah. And like I dipped back in on the Mario Kart one recently, and I feel like it controlled better than I remembered it, whether or not that's because they've patched it or whatever.
Right.
So I had a bit of fun playing it, like the actual experience of playing a kind of touchscreen racing game. Mm. It's not quite as good as playing it on a console, of course, but better than I remembered it being. But then all the other stuff about it, how it's all kind of, it's very mobile gamey, and that like the courses are randomized and you get points to it doesn't have that like progression of like getting going through a cup that you kind of want it to have. So like all the other stuff that's built into it is just like, man, I wish you had just made a straight up Mario Kart game for the phone that doesn't have all this mobile-y bullshit where,
and
you know, you can spend money for more of the points and
well, Dr. Mario.
Stuff.
Remember Dr. Mario?
Yeah, yeah,
it was just Candy Crush with the same sort of microtransaction stuff built in. So. Yeah.
Oh, well, at least there's plenty of other big budget and creative games available with things that those games are lacking, like decent stories, really well-written interesting worlds. Games like Disco Elysium, which you can purchase here in this country of Australia. Currently.
In 1 week.
you can currently purchase the old version on Steam.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes. But which I have.
Yep.
Yep.
And that will get a free upgrade on Steam, right?
As far as I know, I would not be wanting to pay for it.
That is the case. Yeah, everyone gets an upgrade on March 30th to the final cut that's coming out on consoles for the first time with extra quests, and I think it's voice acting for every bit of dialogue is the big change. So you can get that on March the 30th, wherever you are in the world, unless you happen to live in the country of Australia, where our classification board have knocked it back.
Yeah, the term refused classification is such a... It just conjures such an image of someone going like... You must be joking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why they're working for the Australian Classification Board with that voice.
I mean, a lot of those old people are still...
You know, you must be joking, Cobber.
Yeah. Is that a more Bob Hawkish? Yeah.
So it's because of drug content.
Which it always is. Yeah.
It's so annoying
Katana
because...
Katana Zero, right, was the one... That yes, also got refused yes. classification for a fake drug
Fallout
or a real drug.
3 years ago, Mark Echo's Getting Up, Contents Under Pressure.
Really?
Were back in the day because it promoted graffiti.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Refused classification is a very misleading way of describing it because in effect what that means is that the game can't come out.
Yeah.
Like the actual headline is, it's banned.
Yes.
It's not going to be released. But refusing classification just makes it seem like, oh, it's just going to come out and not have a rating on it.
It's not American Pie, the unrated DVD release.
It's not
with extra content.
It's not banned, though. It just means they can't release it in Australia. But digitally, I believe they still can. At least on Steam.
Steam
a
doesn't...
shopfront that's in a different country, essentially. Yeah.
I think that PlayStation and Xbox and Switch, which I don't know if it's coming out on Switch, maybe.
It is, but not. It's later. Right. It's not the same date as the other
Those
two.
Those versions, I think, have specifically Australian stores, whereas Steam is a foreign store that you can use Australian currency on.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah, they have to classify to put it up digitally there. But you can also make a North American account or whatever relatively straightforwardly and still buy it digitally. And you can import it. Yeah, they're all region free.
Totally.
So it's a fucking useless thing to bother doing from a ratings board. And a ratings board isn't supposed to... Let me read the thing that they said. But in my opinion, a ratings board isn't there to...
ban or allow. It's just to classify, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't guide the culture or so.
Put the highest rating you can on it. It's just drug use. It's like that's movies come out with that in it.
Right.
Like heaps of stuff exists that. And is it? I think it's the same as Katana. Is the drug use that's in Disco Elysium? It's fictional, right?
I'm not sure, but it gives you a beneficial effect.
Right.
Is the problem I have.
Right.
The game has been refused classification according to the Australian classification website because it depicts, this is a quote, matters of sex, drug misuse or addiction, crime, cruelty, violence or revolting or abhorrent phenomena in such a way that they offend the standards of morality, decency and proprietary. Mm-hmm. They haven't invented anything. Propriety generally accepted by reasonable adults. Which I hugely disagree with.
Yes.
The standards of morality, decency, and propriety. What the fuck is that word? I say it like I know it. Propriety.
Like acting with politeness in society.
Right.
It's like a conforming to the morals of society.
No wonder I've never heard that word. Yeah. I suck my dick for man.
Oh, no. No, Adam Knox has been refused classification.
We're going to send Knox to a finishing school.
It's insane behavior. I fucking hate it. It only seems to happen with video games. Maybe those are the only ones I'm paying attention to.
I don't feel like you ever hear about. I mean, you go see anything in a movie.
Yeah.
You
right.
never hear about a movie that's like, because typically like Oscar Beatty stuff will typically deal in some pretty intense themes and you never hear about like, oh, this movie's apparently going to sweep the awards but can't come out in Australia because it's about a junkie.
Mm. Anyway, this will get turned over.
Yeah.
It always does. They always change one little thing and then they're like, finally, you changed it from heroin to heroin.
Yes.
And now it's okay.
Yeah.
Now everybody believes you're innocent.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It is annoying though because this story just came out like a week ago, which was like, 2 weeks from the game coming out. Mm. I was getting excited to get it on the day. And it just means like... Yeah, like you were saying, it's pretty easy to just set up a new account for the American store or just wait like a little bit longer until it gets overturned. But yeah, it's a hassle for a very arbitrary and stupid reason and it just makes you feel like you are living in a cultural backwater.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's a lot of stuff of reasons for that now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Comedyfestival.com.au But really excited for dipping into that.
Yeah,
pretty soon. How far into it did you get, Ben?
A few hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you gonna start it from scratch, or are you just gonna? You'll be able to resume the save, but with all the voice acting and stuff.
I think I might start it from scratch. Mm-hmm. I do remember it pretty well, but because we'll probably talk about it on the show. I kind of want to have the same experience as you guys around the same time.
I'm gonna play it on the PC where adults are allowed.
Yep.
Mm. instead of a baby console like the PlayStation 5, Tommy.
Yeah, I'll be getting my little Fisher-Paykel thing where you fucking call Fred Flintstone and trying to jack it into
something else. Yeah.
Do you ever have one of those little baby computers? One of those little like
I had a mobile phone with like gumballs in it.
Yeah, I had one of those.
The gumballs went away at some point, but the phone continued.
I don't think I had a baby computer. I would have had like a little baby piano and stuff that actually had like eight notes on
had
it.
Had a baby steering wheel.
I've got a little baby dick. I had a little... It was like a little... It taught you spelling, I think. It had like a little LCD screen on it and a little keyboard, and it would like bring up little pictures and get you to type them out. Yeah.
Babies don't need to know how to spell yet.
No.
Like one day, but not a baby. Mm. If you're judging a baby's spelling, that's on you.
Well, that's why I'm so fucking smart now, cunt, because my parents started me early on the baby spelling computer.
Ask me any question from bottle to nipple and I'll be able to tell you. Ouchie is... Yeah, I can spell that.
Spell Elise. See him then.
E L Y S I U M.
All right. I didn't have the baby computer, so I can't verify that. Yeah, I don't know how to spell.
I don't know what all those noises meant.
Yeah.
Well, did I just break the law?
You're only allowed to say that in Canberra.
Yeah, this is like watching Underbelly in 2006.
Yeah, fuck.
If you go into state, you can actually buy fireworks in Canberra because evidently everything is legal there and there's no way that you can fucking get arrested for anything.
That makes it, where the lawmakers live.
Yeah.
You could just buy this porn and fireworks.
Where the big money is. Mm. Speaking of big money.
Oh. Yeah, that's your new rap name that you're going by.
My name's Big Money and I'm here to say Microsoft's going to give Discord a payday.
Oh.
Of $10 billion, my friend and pal. Do you think it'll happen? Tell me now.
I don't know, because I also saw speculation that Discord should just go public and sell shares.
Right.
And they might make even more money from doing that. But... it's hard to turn down $10 billion.
I
did it once and I regret it every day of my life. But yeah.
I reckon they could get shares, but internet communication platforms are so transient.
Mm.
Like, look at Skype turning to Zoom. They change over time.
Totally.
So if I were in charge of Discord, if I were Bobby Discord, I'd be up there going, sell it to Microsoft and give me $10 billion.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Yeah,
I don't need to make more money than that.
Yeah.
Why am I going to get involved in stonks? That's Elon Musk's territory.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Dogecoin?
You could start a rival Elon Musk company with $10 billion.
Yeah, but I'm not going to bother.
Start a new space race.
Yeah, okay. Just Elon Musk's company, but you only do the meme part of him.
Yeah.
For $10 billion.
Make more money.
For $10 billion, would you suck your dad's dick for $10 billion?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot to pay, but I'd pay it.
Dad drives a hard bargain.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patreon.com, Discord is one of the benefits of being on the Patreon thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a couple of different Discords and I still just don't really like Discord as a platform.
Yeah, right.
I don't like the way it looks. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way it works. I don't like the content that is often on it or that it is used for,
which
is revenge porn.
Yeah, it's tied into dark web stuff.
It's gotten way, way worse after Discord has come along.
Yeah, but enough about our channel. What about the broader Discord
that doesn't
community?
Happen on our channel's nice, same good, as our Facebook, where Facebook's also terrible.
See, this is the thing, though.
We run nice little forums on there.
This is the really annoying thing about Facebook. We all in this room, and I imagine most people listening, and a lot of people in the world, hate Facebook.
Yeah.
But we hate it because of kind of like what it's created and the content that's on it and the time suck and all the rest of it. Mm. But at the same time, I think we've all become kind of addicted to that layout and that way of taking in information, so that something like Discord, that is just like a live chat that's always on, I kind of feel like I can't keep up with this.
Right.
Like I want this. I'm used to, I've spent so long in the ecosystem of Facebook that is more like a forum where, you know, it's a bit easy to get on and just kind of catch up with the new posts rather than scrolling through this endless chat.
But that's the idea. You're not meant to keep up with it. It's moving.
Yes, so you jump in when you have time. Right. It's for coordinating stuff that you are doing together, like live gaming sessions and stuff like that.
It makes voice chat very easy across multiple different platforms and
for
stuff
free.
Like that.
Like that change, because it used to be only like, I remember trying to do a phone call to like, you know, someone in a different country.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I can't do that. So maybe Skype, maybe not. Sometimes it works. Like, Discord is like this absolutely pain-free, idiot's guide to like voice chat.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, it's good for stuff like that.
I think Microsoft buying it will kill it.
Yeah, I think it's awful.
Yeah, because like everything that they touch like this tends to die.
Because
or what they create, like Mixer,
right.
Skype, fucked up somehow while being like, it was the main name in that shit forever until people started needing it. And then they were like, oh, we should use something different.
Yeah.
So you think now that Discord has been bought by Microsoft, it'll just become...
They're looking at buying it. They,
yeah,
they
yeah.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Well, when it does happen, all of a sudden Discord will just become all about pirates and little pinata animals.
Mm. Now, what's that about?
The banjo and the kazooie stuff will be removed from Discord.
No
more banjo kazooie.
Grabbed by the ghoulies, I would have understood. If you'd have gone grabbed by the ghoulies. Because that was their first actual project on Xbox after they were purchased by Microsoft.
Hey, Adam, I'll pay you $5 billion for Discord.
Oh, yeah. Tommy jiggled the cord
penis.
That his microphone
Oh, okay.
With.
Yeah, sure.
It's obviously widely used and very valuable, Discord. Yeah. People love it. Mm. I know that I am not in the majority where maybe I've just never, similar to you, Tommy, wrapped my head around the features of it enough to, or maybe the way that I socialize doesn't fit in with the way that the majority of people like to socialize online.
Yeah.
Which I think is also a possibility.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
I'm just at cap with platforms, honestly. Like, I keep meaning to be more active in ours, and I forget that I have it on my phone. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
I'm trying
not
to...
the platform's fault.
Well, no, I'm not saying
yeah,
it is.
I tried to be there, but I forgot the address. So, you know, whatever. Maybe you should move.
No, I'm not saying it is. Like, I've deleted Twitter off my phone. I'm trying to purge myself of the amount of time I spend on shit on my phone and like it just and yeah I'm sure it is great, but it's just at the point that I'm at with, and like I get that a lot of people go, well, this is the thing that I'm going to use instead of everything else,
right?
But as we've talked about many times on the show, doing something like this means that you're sort of tethered to things like Facebook and Twitter, and you don't ever have the option of fully getting off all that stuff and going, oh, just get onto Discord, the fun one where I chat to people and have a good time. It's like, no, I've got to do the posts for the thing on this platform.
Right, exactly. You know. We're in an uncommon position where the work that we do requires that we do a certain number of them and use them in a certain way, and that they're never fun to use necessarily because they are always tied to work and always have been.
If I didn't do any of this stuff, I would have deleted my Facebook. I wouldn't
be
on Twitter.
Off the grid.
I'd maybe be on Instagram, and I probably would be on something like Discord by now, you know,
right.
for like a Patreon of a show I listen to and have a great time.
I'd be all texts.
Yeah.
I'd be, if even, but just letters, just nothing. Hermit.
Yeah.
Hermit.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. God, I'd love that.
Yeah.
Even after the last year, proved that I wouldn't. I know that I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yes.
But I still dream of it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like doing Walden and then like getting eaten by a wolf while he was out there instead of going like, oh, maybe I'll keep a journal.
Someone takes you to hospital and you're like, take me back to the woods.
Yeah, get me back there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's interesting if they do, because I think it'll kill it. But I think it'll be
great
cool
for
if...
the heads of Discord just getting a big old payout. And, and you're right. If you know, if you run something like that, you know that the writing's on the wall. You know that your time is finite. So it's like, take a payout. They'll probably fuck it, but even if they hadn't, it probably would have faded in not too far in the future anyway. So,
and I wonder if this means they're fielding offers from other places like Google and whatever, and someone else will end up getting it. Or who knows? Who knows if it will actually change it? Microsoft runs Xbox fine. The Windows is popular.
My prediction is that people have actually run out of ideas. So everything that we have right now, we'll have forever. Facebook will never go away. Discord will probably stay because it's so embedded with gaming.
I reckon
Microsoft will make it worse, but it will stick around. Let's check back in 5 years.
I think that everything will change within the next 10 years because we are so early on in the medium of the internet that things have been established early, but they will change.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like
totally,
these are around
yeah.
now and YouTube is still around, but there are whispers of, you know, people want to move away from it. They just don't have the good option yet.
Mm.
Everything will change forever.
Well, I mean, I
that's my opinion. The only thing that's certain in life, death and taxes.
Change.
And change is certain, but that could be different one day.
Whoa.
Who knows?
And my comedy festival show being fantastic. Comedyfestival.com.au for tickets. Tommy Dazzle and Meatball, March 30th, April 4th.
Interesting.
Coopers in, 7:30 p.m.
Meatball, it's called.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what. I have no interest in opening an app and typing away on there. Mm. I'm not interested in that as a platform, pure text. What I would be interested in as a platform, chucking a helmet on and just seeing my friends in beautiful high-resolution virtual reality.
Well, okay. There's already several virtual reality headsets and they'll be around forever. They'll never change. Those are the ones that we've got and so they will continue to be there forever.
That's right.
So,
and one of them's owned by Facebook.
Which would be great if there was an alternative, which there is in the PSVR 2, which they surprisingly showed off immediately after we uploaded our episode last week.
And just the controllers, though.
Yes. Just the controllers. Yes.
I don't know if I like this weird, you know, Sony do these little kind of drip feedy things.
Right.
Do a presentation and show us the games and, the, you know, show it all at once. Mm. I don't know.
I don't know. It's better than the Nintendo one where they're like, won't do anything.
The
controllers look a lot like Oculus controllers, but with like a bigger loop because they can do individual finger tracking, which is really cool. The only one that I know of that can do that now is a Valve Index, which is $1,000 US to purchase.
And is there's haptic feedback?
Yeah, I think that just is the rumble that they've got.
It's not particularly advanced?
It's as advanced as the one in the DualSense, I think.
I mean, that's pretty advanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've said they're bringing a lot of the technology over from that controller into these, so the triggers will be those adaptable triggers.
That would be great in VR. Yeah. That'll make a huge impact.
Mm. They have sticks on them, which the fucking motion controllers did not, or the Move controllers, I mean, on the original one.
Yeah.
It'll be all the inside-out tracking and whatever. Like, it sounds like it could be the thing of... There's just one cord for this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was wireless, Hachimarinda.
Well, I did see.
You know, whatever that means. I hope it doesn't mean anything.
Hey, La Hacienda, bro.
Hey, well, La Poqueta. Damn. Because I set up the PSVR in such a way that it can always be plugged in now.
Right.
But fuck, it's annoying. And like, also the headset has a cord attached and a short cord at that. Mm-hmm. And the camera needs to be on your TV. All of that shit. It won't have the camera.
The fucking camera is such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
The cords could maybe, you know, put up with. But they're like, I never have my camera properly set up all the time. And I find it very specific of where it's got to be, especially in and the angle, especially in a small place. Being done with that would be heaven.
And that sounds like it's the thing. Like, they only showed off the controllers, but they gave some vague details about like, this will have this and that.
I mean, it would be crazy to go, hey, we've put all this incredible tech into the controllers and the image is going to be crystal clear, but we've still got the cords and the fucking cat. Like, if they still kept all that annoying stuff.
Call Sony HQ and describe to them over the phone where you're standing in the room. Otherwise, we won't be able to track you.
I did see speculation that this one cord thing, because that's a Sony thing. There's only going to be one cord or one cable
for this. So they've said that.
But whether that is... Because like the current setup, it's two HDMI cords through a pass-through box.
Yeah.
The speculation that the one cord thing is not to the headset. It's, you know, to the PlayStation.
The box.
So it's possible...
So there'll be a separate box.
Or it's possible that the headset is wireless.
Right.
But the sort of, you know, the
you
other
connect
tech
a box
stuff,
to the PlayStation. That'd be great. And then the box is communicating with the headset.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Would be that would make a lot of sense.
That would be way better than a cord with all the going to the headset.
Yeah, the external cameras and the, you know, finger and hand. Like, all of that stuff is so advanced.
Yeah.
It would be surprising to still have, like, a 5-meter long USB-C cable.
However, they're wanting to develop experiences where you're, like, turning around and doing a bit more movement, which you do see more and more of on games on the Oculus.
The problem with that wireless stuff is that the Oculus has all of it internally.
And
it's a bandwidth problem with most headsets over wireless stuff. You can't do it wirelessly as easily. Don't know if that is like technically possible at all currently.
Right.
Because the Oculus isn't wireless. It is a self-contained unit.
Yeah, exactly. You know I was going to say, you have all of those features in terms of like the all of that stuff that the Oculus Quest 2 has.
Right.
But your one is wired.
Right.
Which doesn't necessarily... Meaning, like...
But it's your one is wired as well if you ever want to run something on a computer.
Yeah.
Which, it doesn't communicate with anything wirelessly other than the Wi-Fi to do downloads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But my point being that it wouldn't even be a PS5 peripheral if it were a self-contained unit.
Yeah, sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
It would be a PSVR, which you'd pay probably $700 for, and would be a standalone thing.
I would imagine that's not the direction they're going.
I feel like we would have heard if it was exactly that by now.
Yeah, and they want you to use your console. They want you to be on the store on that thing.
And at the moment, you can use your PS4 VR headset and games with a PS... on a PS5,
right.
Mm-hmm. with a bit of, like, you know, dicking around. So again, I think that they would want you to be able to continue to use that stuff,
yeah,
right,
across this new headset.
They
and
would
it just
want
looks
it backwards
a bit downraised or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could imagine that
go
they
on.
Are imagine
two chicks at the same time.
Yeah. But they're twins, so it's real weird. And it's like, if they, because Sony has a really good proprietary wireless audio codec thing that I forget the name of, but for their headphones they use it, and it's the point of it is to do high bitrate stuff with low latency.
Right.
They have that. They use it in the Pulse 3D.
Yeah, I saw one of those in the shop the other day. Names. Stupid. I refuse to buy it based on the name.
I've got them. They're good.
Okay, maybe I'll get one.
Yeah. That's what that little USB in the front of the PS5 is for.
I can't believe I turned around for that.
What did you expect it to look like?
I don't
like?
Know.
Hello, Tommy.
I just saw a finger going off
thanks
in a direction.
Thanks for noticing, finally.
Yeah, I thought, something's going on over here.
Yeah.
But imagine if they had a box and it had multiple wireless proprietary communicator things.
Yeah.
Only one of which communicated to one eye, one of which communicated to the other eye, one of which communicated to the ears, one communicated to the, you know,
yeah,
a separate broken out box that did wirelessly communicate to a headset, maybe is possible. I'm not a technician.
Well, it could. So something like Remote Play, which I tested out the other week, playing a bit of Yakuza on the iPad. So something like that, which is, you know, the console is still doing all the hard work, but it's transmitting an image. Mm. So
through the Wi-Fi.
Through the Wi-Fi on the same network. So something like that where the headset is wireless, you have a box plugged into the PS5, and then it's doing all the work of
the problem
transmitting
becomes
the
lag.
Signal.
Mm. If you have a split second of lag between your head movement and the image updating, you feel sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why the bandwidth thing is such a big deal for VR in particular.
Yeah, but I do use my Oculus headset wirelessly with my PC. And so that is operating on exactly that system of just the 5G modem, the internal network, and it's great. There is no lag. And that's like a PC doing, like, and it's, I can hear the fucking graphics card going, but it's doing a lot of work, and then it's just transmitting that image over the internal Wi-Fi to the headset and the controllers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. There
and
is no lag.
And that's just over your Wi-Fi.
It is, yeah.
I haven't noticed lag on the Remote Play thing. Mm. Like, I haven't been playing anything super, like, just controlling Yakuza. I think because it's... Because
I've got everything plugged in through Ethernet cables and shit here, and then, like, my phone can do 5G. And the one time I tried the Xbox wireless thing, it was kind of laggy.
Hmm. Yeah, right.
Interesting.
But then you get the other problem as well, which was with the original PSVR, is that individual people's houses and different lights and stuff like that fucked with how well it worked.
Yep.
And if you introduce a system where if someone has a worse modem than someone else, the product sucks. You want to take out those variables if you're
on
Sony.
I guess the flip side of that argument is that's already the case with TVs and stuff like that. You know, how many times must they get people emailing going, oh, this Demon Souls game's meant to look great and it looks like shit. I don't know what happened. I got the cord, I got the red, the white and the yellow and I've plugged them into the back and it looks all fucked.
I mean, I think also, like, I think that's true, Nox. Like, if you were Sony, you want to minimize those issues or complaints, but a VR headset is a luxury item that, you got to check the specs first before you buy it. You don't deserve a PSVR headset.
Yeah, you're deep into this shit if you're getting it.
Yeah,
you're not
I guess so. But
and
if
it's like $1,000 or whatever when it comes out.
Yeah.
It could be, but if they sell a thing, you would expect it to work with the thing you got. That's the whole point of consoles and shit.
Yeah, but you have to put the specifications on it. Like,
yeah, I doubt they would want to go down that road of like a thing for their console not working properly with their console. You know, that's a very anti-
Yeah, I just don't
thing.
Every time someone gets a new internet connection these days, they would be getting sent a 5G modem probably.
Probably. I know they're very common, but like the individual setup in a house can be different, can work differently. Like I just doubt that that's it, but maybe it will be.
Mm. But yeah, I mean, I guess the same problem kind of exists for playing games online even. Like if your connection isn't as good, you're not going to be able to have that same experience. And look, I'm sure all this stuff is being tested as we speak, because this probably has a lot to do with why we haven't actually seen the headset itself yet.
Right.
I imagine there's probably three different, you know, we all think maybe a year or so away from getting this. So there's probably three prototypes that they're fucking around with at the moment to work out, you know.
That was the other thing in there, this whatever report is that people were like, it looks like it's coming out this year.
Right. Cool. Well.
Yeah, because I think the only thing for me is that if it's one cable, but it's a HDMI cable, that's still a big ass cable. Like, that's what I really didn't like. And it was two and they were bound together for the old one. But it's still just like, it's not appealing to me.
Especially if you've gotten used to the Oculus.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just part of that, of just that feeling of freedom that you really need in a game where you're losing yourself in the experience of like doing the rock climbing game where it's all about like, tricking your head into like, I'm having this experience. And if you've got this like weight at the back of your head and you're bumping a cord every time you move your arm, it like, it just takes you out of it immediately. So
it's definitely worse. It's definitely worse. It's just whether or not they can do it for sure for everyone, because they would want it to work with every PS5. They would. It's not like PC stuff where they're like, check all your things. Everything they ever make for consoles is like, this will work.
That being said, the only thing I'm interested in playing it on it, and the only thing I would buy it for, would be Astrobot's Rescue Mission 2.
Yeah.
For which you are seated and you just use the standard controller anyway.
Who knows?
So I don't give a fuck about any of the rest
of
it.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
Because in the second one, they might make use of the new shit.
No, don't worry about it, boys. Don't overthink it.
Take it out.
Just crisper graphics, new levels. That'll do me.
What if you had to lie down on the floor for the whole thing and look up?
Oh.
How about that for a new play style?
Mm.
You know what else is out on VR currently?
What?
You know, Ben.
Yeah, I do know. I've been thinking about it this whole time. Half-Life Alyx, which came out a year ago on the 23rd, I looked up.
Okay.
It's the 1 year anniversary, has been given a mod.
Damn.
And that mod is BioShock style. It's called Return to Rapture, maybe? One of those two.
Yeah, okay.
It's a free thing you get through Steam Workshop. It's really easy to get if you have Half-Life Alyx through Steam. You just click yes on all the different parts. It's like a 6 gig download.
Yeah.
This person, William something, calls himself the Master Builder in the opening credits.
Oh.
which I think is a very apt description. He has made this mod. It's like an 8-part thing. It's pretty long. It's like a good length DLC sort of thing. Mm. It looks like BioShock 1. So I've played a bit of it. It's okay. I don't want to be too harsh on it because it is just a user-made thing. It's not paid or anything like that. And I don't want people to go in expecting like, oh, this is like a full polished thing, because like he will use dialogue from Half-Life Alyx.
Right.
So you have like the Rhys Darby character talking to you sometimes.
Listen,
and
Alyx, you've got to go over to Rapture.
Well, not even that. It's just like, go on, Alyx, get in, hurry up. You might, miss out. It's like all this generic dialogue. And then someone, maybe the guy who made it, maybe he paid someone, has done some voiceover in the style of the original narrator in BioShock. Not Andrew Ryan, you know the other guy? The like Scottish guy?
The Irish guy,
yeah.
Who was, spoilers for BioShock, that was Fontaine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I don't remember the Irish guy's name.
They've tried to recreate that with someone who is not a professional voice actor.
Are they Irish?
No. That's the main problem, honestly. there's all the enemies are just enemies from Half-Life Alyx.
Mm.
So there's a lot of stuff that's like, okay, well, it would be hard to remodel, character models and shit like that.
It's like Simpsons Doom, where it's like, sure, it's Mo shooting at me, but why am I in hell?
And why does Mo go,
That's a great comparison. Because it's like, this is fun. It's fun to see, Simpsons in Doom.
Yeah.
And I did, I emphasized the builder aspect of this guy's credit because, like, the textures, the levels, the world itself looks amazing. It really does look like Rapture.
He's used a lot of assets, I believe, from the original BioShock, right? With the blessing of the original developers.
Right, yes, exactly. And you can tell. Like, it looks great. There is, like, stuff from the opening of BioShock. And, it just really does look like BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really feel like BioShock because you still have the gravity gun thing, gravity glove.
Yeah.
You have the same gun.
And it's head crabs and shit still,
it's head crabs and shit.
Okay.
They've done a lot of work to try and bridge that gap. There's like Vita chambers and, like I said, a purposefully recorded voiceover. But it's more of a curiosity. It doesn't quite feel as immersive as I was hoping because it is a VR mod. But it's a pretty amazing technical achievement. I think if someone did go, all right, here's some like character models from Bioshock, or here's a professional voice actor, it'd be way better.
Seeing those crossovers like that, I don't remember if I ever talked about that Banjo-Kazooie Jiggies of Time thing on here.
I don't think so.
I showed you, Tommy, but I don't know if I talked about it on this. I played it during the last lockdown or the one before that. It's a mod for Banjo-Kazooie on the 64, and it turns it into Ocarina of Time, but all of the levels are platforming levels in Banjo-Kazooie style. It was a little buggy, and it was like, you know, a little... unpolished in the way that, of course, a mod always is going to be, but that cool in a similar way. And if you can look that up pretty easily, and you can get it for pretty cheaply.
This is the thing I hear about this kind of mod stuff, and I think it'd be fun to give that a try. But that very thing of knowing that it's like a little unpolished and it's like a fan thing, I can't imagine myself ever committing to a full playthrough of an entire one of these projects.
Right.
I can't imagine myself doing any more than like an hour or so of like, okay, I've seen what this is.
That generally tends to be what you get out of stuff like this as well. But sometimes they surprise you, or
there's a big
the single player ones in particular tend to be a little underdone, just because, or not underdone, but have the odds stacked against them, because it is very difficult to make a game.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially a fun single player game. So if one person is making it, which generally they are, a very small team, you get big gaps in game design.
What people can do, I read during the week there's a Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC mod that some people have made that puts like new enemies into it and like some new little quests and weapons and stuff. So, I mean, 4 years on, the kind of stuff that... You know, the enemy range in that game in particular, probably the one of the very few but very glaring faults in it, that there's this gigantic world and there seem to be about three species that exist across this different regions and different climates. It's just like, oh, they're blue in this ice bit.
Huh. A big open world game with not particularly good combat. That's interesting, because I played the second DLC for Outer Worlds this week, which is the final DLC. It's called Murder on Eridanos. And Eridanos is my my friend.
What?
Shut up. It doesn't matter. He's Stavros 360's friend.
Oh,
sounds like a Greek name.
Yeah, it does too.
And the fact that you couldn't pick that up is fucking insane.
That's on us.
It's a planet. There's like it's a murder mystery, basically, done in the style of like a 50s serial, which the original had little touches of the original Outer Worlds, like the main bit, but less so than this. And I found that tone a little grating whilst playing this, because it isn't genuine.
Right.
It's a nostalgia of someone else's nostalgia. You know what I mean? Right. Like the people who did the spoofs and whatever, the goofs, the plays upon those 50s things are much older than the people who were working on this game, I would have to assume. I don't know everyone there, but they are.
Yeah.
For a fact.
There's no 90-year-olds working on this.
The people who wrote this are writing it, are doing someone else's gear.
Right, yeah,
with
with
a slightly different voice. And so that that double layer of, look at this type of thing, is really fucking annoying at times. Do you know what I mean?
I have found that to be the case with all of this kind of stuff. Right, I found that to be the case with even the base of the Outer Worlds, and the Fallout stuff does that a lot.
Yes, it does.
And I find that to be, I've always found that to be the case, that it's a bit like, this isn't a 50s pastiche, this is a... 50s pastiche.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is a Johnny Rockets takeoff.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's like if I were to do a sitcom and base it on The Simpsons, where it's like, they were already making fun of that.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like to do a takeoff of a takeoff is pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's at least going to be watered down by definition.
And also, like, the jokes you think you're coming up with, they already came up with. Yeah. You're not... This is, but so I wasn't bothered as much by it in the original one, because I liked that undercutty kind of grimy thing that it had going well. But this one leans a bit more heavily into the tropey version of that. So I found a lot of the story much less fun than the original.
Well, it makes a lot more sense when it's just a concept for an overall world, because this sort of like barren, like post-apocalyptic sci-fi thing contrasted with this sort of idealistic view of the 50s and what the future was going to be.
Yeah.
Which that works really well together. And so I can see why in a concept for an overall world, why developers go for that. But then adding a layer of 50s parody on top of it, it's like, the just making fun of the 50s wasn't the thing that was interesting about it. It's the contrast.
The thing in the original that this one doesn't have so much, the original had the thing where it was more about full-on capitalism and like sort of blustery...
sort of like false optimism.
Yeah.
And
propagandary kind of
propaganda,
capitalism.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. And it leaned more on the bigger version of that in the original rather than this one, which leans just on the entertainment side.
Right.
Because you're chasing down the killer who killed the lead actress of the TV serials that they've got, Ruth Bellamy, who played Halcyon Helen. She gets killed at the unveiling, or like the day before an unveiling of a new product, and you're tracking down a killer. And because it's got all that actory stuff and all of the radio or TV serial and all of that stuff, it just doesn't work very well. Or like it works in a way that the same way it's always worked.
Right.
And it just...
Which if you've never seen... If your experience of the 50s is watching Grease and Happy Days and nothing else...
Yeah.
Probably is fine. If you've never played Fallout, because like when you were describing, Tommy, the sort of like the contrast of the post-apocalyptic with the 50s, you know, the nuclear, the atomic age is what it's called. That's great in Fallout 3 and probably 2 and 1, which I haven't played. And even by Fallout 4, it's a little bit like, okay, this is your thing, so I'm okay with it. But by the time Outer Worlds was using it, it was like the least good thing about Outer Worlds for me. You're right. The capitalism stuff... And I like the gameplay and the RPG stuff and the story. That was all good. But even in the Outer Worlds, it was like, why are you cribbing this stuff from Fallout, which is already kind of old?
And it was also kind of cribbing it from other people's things of Ayn Rand books and whatever. You know?
Right, yep.
And then the extra level on this is that every second fucking thing that any comedian has ever done in the last 20 years is a fake radio serial about a murder.
Right.
Every fucking thing is, well, the intrepid detective goes to da-da-da. And it's like, none of you cunts ever saw this shit for real.
Why
are you doing this?
I think in an ideal world, you parody something because you love it. You know, you parodies, but like Austin Powers is like, you know, we grew up watching the James Bond films and we have a deep love for them. And, you know, wouldn't it be funny if he did this and didn't take itself so seriously? Yeah. But just parodying it because you think stylistically it's an interesting thing to do rather than you're completely au fait with the source material always sticks out.
You just want to wear a pocket square and like that's okay. Right. You're allowed to like, the writing it suffers for that in this one. Some of it is still good in the way that I thought the original was. But because that is really the only thing there is to this game, because the combat isn't good at all and the exploration is fine but not particularly interesting, and it looks nice but you get used to it pretty quick, like it's the one area and it's relatively large, but you're seeing the same stuff that again you saw already for a full game and another DLC, so it isn't as strong as the rest of it. But I did still end up enjoying it.
Right.
There's enough little twists and turns in the story. There's enough interesting characters that are original that I enjoyed those bits. But like meeting the blustery actor from a 50s thing, it's like you are in 500 things.
You know what I mean?
Your name wasn't Spencer Woolridge in the others, but like I also know you in real life. So fuck off. Like it hits the beats that I think virtually any writer given this brief would hit.
Yeah.
In a lot of the parts of it. So yeah, that just really made it a bit of a chore to get through parts of it because it was like, oh, did the dastardly whoever do this thing? I don't know I hope I've expressed why that feels grating.
Yeah, I think
enough to not just be like,
but I think there's enough people who are like, yeah, I like what I understand the 50s to be, so they'll probably enjoy that.
And my problem with this is that I find it to be unoriginal because I have consumed a lot of this media in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't always feel this way about this stuff.
Right.
So, of course, your mileage is going to vary because if this is the first time you're seeing a parody of this type of thing done, then... A, you're definitely too young to know what they're talking about. Yeah. But like, not that you can't Google things or read books, not that kids are stupid, but I know that I don't know things about this, and I am 31, the oldest I'll ever be.
It's very brave of you to admit that. Like, you're 31.
Just like that, I'm not the oldest I'll ever be. I hope I said that wrong, but I.
The oldest you've ever been.
I guess that's what I mean, but I don't mean that. I'm just saying that,
what do you mean you don't mean that?
I don't know what I mean.
That's the true one. It just you can't not mean that.
I've been this before. I've done a bunch of life. But yeah, it just is... a lot of the writing is kind of flat in this.
Well, yeah.
Or kind of samey to this game, to a bunch of movies and TV shows and live comedy things and stuff that you probably have seen a bunch of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Podcasts that are like, haha, it's this. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, you're all fucking detective. Like, everyone's a 50s detective.
It seems to be...
I don't understand how there are so many variants of calling yourself something like Dick Investigator.
Yeah.
Dick... Clusen or whatever. There's so many.
Dick Clusen is not bad.
It is bad. They're all bad.
Gorilla Detective.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Awful.
No, I know. But like, also that was kind of part of the point of doing the cop. Anyway.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. If it was a YouTube video or an article, but I was reading about...
The two things that you would have consumed.
Yes. Actually, it was a Twitter thread, I believe.
Yes.
About how even when a game is like positioned as a story game, still within that ecosystem of the video games industry, story isn't really given the right treatment or the enough treatment. You know, like, it's like this sounds, it's like, this is story first, it's a mystery and you uncover it and you know, it's an RPG and it's all about dialogue choices and stuff.
Yeah.
But they didn't probably hire a genuinely original writer to create this story.
Or if they did, they did it quick. Like, it just seems less...
It's not the priority, even for a story game.
I think it is the priority. It's just a little unoriginal this time. Like, I don't think they've done a bad version of this thing. It's just that there aren't really... There's nothing to be gained out of a good version of this at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially when you are following up from something that also already did a version of this.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, it leans more heavily into the less original aspects of this type of tone.
A murder mystery is the most on the nose version of that kind of pastiche. Because
it's also pastiche of like Agatha Christie shit and like all these things that have been had a million variants of them, and they don't break any new ground in this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's, I don't think it's low effort. I don't think anyone's done.
Oh no, I don't think it is for other games that are like arguably good. Story-wise, it's but still unoriginal. It's like they're not getting the top talent of writers in the world.
I mean, I don't know that. I don't know who wrote this or whatever. I don't want to like slag them off. You know what I mean?
But it sounds like it's a fact that it's like it's not someone who would have written a great movie or a great TV series on HBO. It's someone who has written a unoriginal pastiche.
This is definitely that, but I don't know, they can do something else another day, who knows. But like this in itself is definitely just like a little more of it is kind of by the numbers for this type of comedy, because it's comedy focused too. It is like, this is a lot more in a very common direction than I even thought the rest of the game was. And just like less original kind of characters and like creative situations and stuff, you just kind of, a lot of this you see, the bits that are good are still good.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
still bits of it that are cool, but then it's throwing some, like, you know, it's throwing some balls that it's like trying to put a little pepper on, but it's like, and then, you know, the brain of the doctor's dead husband is inside your little clue gun, and the clue gun is a little sarcastic because of it. It's like, oh.
Right.
That type of thing. There are a million chatty robots in this world already.
Yeah, true.
And it's something that is everywhere.
Mm.
The sarcastic robot thing is like, dude, read fucking Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And then
watch Futurama.
And watch Red Dwarf. Yeah. And go through a million versions of this. So, yeah, there were just parts of this where, as someone who has consumed more of this media than maybe many, I was bored by a lot of the stuff. But it doesn't mean it's like bad. It's just another angle of a photo that you've seen this place have photos taken before.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I was going to say it sounds like window dressing that you could be annoyed by but look past, but it does sound like it is kind of integral to this DLC.
This one especially, yes. Yeah. This is like the point of a lot of this, and there are some side ones that aren't.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it still. I played the whole thing and like had fun with bits and pieces of it, and it's like well acted again.
Mm.
The gameplay is still so-so, but like, and at this point of that game, it like doesn't, you can shoot everything easily. There is no actual game to play at all.
Right.
It's all just walking around and following the story.
Right.
And yeah, when parts of that story are just like a little been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I'll round us out with what I've been playing this week. Just more of Yakuza Like a Dragon. Mm. I'm now at the point that you were saying last week, Ben, that it really starts to open up.
Right.
You were dead on. Chapter 4, I think it's like, it's 6 hours in maybe.
Yeah.
Until you actually start playing the game
that
they've made. Which is a very, I think, specifically Japanese design trait to just make you wait, even if what you are watching is enjoyable, just making you wait hours before they will relinquish control and kind of put you in the world and go, and go, here's what you do. I mean, they spend hours going, here's what you're going to be doing. But it, like, Persona did it. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, even, I was thinking about this, like, an open world game. Like a Western open world game, it might be a long time until it really lets you fully take the reins. But still in those first missions, it'll be getting you to kind of like go across the map and spend a long time in the car in GTA or whatever it is. Like it'll still show you a lot of the map.
Yeah.
Whereas like I always find it funny like in Japanese games where they'll go, okay, now we've got to go here. And it'll let you control it, but it like literally where you're going is like 50 meters away. Mm. Like you take 4 steps and then you're into a cutscene again. So it is, I kind of love that it did all that setting up, because then by the time you have control, you are really like, you know, you're deep in the story.
Yep.
And you know the systems. You feel very connected to it.
Yeah.
And you know the systems and everything. Yeah. But I can imagine myself at a different point of my life where I just would not have been able to put the time in to, like, you know, get to the really good stuff of this game.
Yeah.
So, if you're thinking about going in, just be prepared for that. But then once it opens up, I mean, it's good even when it's not opened up, but, like, now that it has opened up, it's, like, a completely different game. And, starting to unlock more party members and get all the different little mechanics in and, just walking around this open world of Yokohama and all the little different systems that you get. I think I'm 11 hours in now and there's still menu things that are blanked out that I still haven't unlocked.
Well,
it's still drip feeding me.
Yeah, I've heard this game described as like a business sim and I'm not even up to that bit yet.
I am
11, 12 hours in.
That's what all their like DLC and stuff is for as well. They've got a lot of like microtransaction-y purchasable.
Yeah, there's two things on the menu. There's a kart racing game. And, a management thing, which I think all the Yakuza games have a subsection of the menu where you just, like, buy properties and whatnot. And, that far in and neither of them are unlocked.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't feel as weird if they weren't sitting there on the main menu for you to open up independently of the game if you wanted to. It's just, like, taunting me. I'm like, I want to play the kart racing game. It sounds fun.
Yeah.
But, a fucking great game. And, I'm absolutely hooked. Loving it.
Yeah.
It's so well acted, so well written. It looks great. It's got just the right amount of sense of humor where it can be serious when it needs to be. You unlock these little allies that come into battles for you that are just so funny and weird and cartoony. Just to further reiterate everything from last week, this is a dynamite game.
Yeah. I kind of wish it was shorter because, I don't often spend more than, 10 to 15 hours playing a game. Like, it's happened a couple of times in the past
couple of years where I've been like, I love this enough to sacrifice other things that I could be doing to play a 60-hour game.
This is this is just like the next persona for me. It's in terms of like a lot of it feels very similar, and also just realizing how much of a cool point of difference it is. For me, at least, I don't know if this is the case across all of video gaming, but just an RPG that is set in a city in a relatively true-to-life setting.
Yeah.
So not dealing in, like, faraway fantasy land or, you know, Persona's modern day, but it's got these, like, big magical kind of other realm elements. There is a degree of sort of cartoony stuff in Yakuza, but by and large, it's just playing an RPG where you're walking around the city, and a lot of your dungeons are just office buildings that you're walking through.
I guess a close comparison would be a Grand Theft Auto, right? Like, this one is different in that it's turn-based combat, but an open world where it's relatively meant to be a real city with some humorous elements to it. But yeah, I agree. It's great. I haven't had more time to play much of it, but I'm going to make that time. Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah. So check that out, I reckon.
Yeah.
That'll do us for this week. Filthycasuals.com.au for all the links to the socials and stuff that we have. You can get on the Patreon. We would much appreciate that. You get a bonus episode every week. You also get early access to the Let's Plays that we're doing of Heavy Rain. Or you can also get them now on YouTube.
Yeah.
On our YouTube channel. Go and check them out.
Yep.
We are getting near the end of that game.
Yes, we are.
We'll probably finish it after recording this. So yes. It'll be up in a week if you're on Patreon, or two if you're not.
Yeah. Been very fun to do that so far, so check that out.
Also, if you're one of those people who likes to binge a whole Let's Play thing, which people have been saying they've been holding off on our Heavy Rain one, it's almost finished. So start watching now. By the time you finish watching, the last episode will be out. That's a guarantee. Yep. I stake my life on it.
Check all that stuff out. Also, go see me and Knox at the Comedy Festival, but go and see heaps of stuff at the Comedy Festival because it didn't happen last year. If you're in Melbourne, comedians are pretty pumped to be back out there doing shows, so go and check that stuff out.
And we're only doing like 5 shows each, so you've got plenty of time.
Yeah, if you're in the Facebook and you're in Melbourne and you want recommendations, feel free to jump in and start a thread or ask us. We can recommend friends and stuff like that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Microsoft buying Discord for $10 billion. I downloaded it for free.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.